to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Deacon Rich Napoli here on Deacon Dialogues. Normally, my wife, Janet, would be with me, but she's home as we're getting ready to welcome two more grandchildren into our family. So we're very excited about that, and she'll be helping both mothers with the adjustments there. So, but I'm here today, and I will introduce our guests in a minute, but just hope you're all enjoying this lovely February day of 72 degrees. It's almost an oxymoron to say February and 72 degrees in the same sentence, but it's just a gorgeous day outside. Hopefully you're enjoying it all and getting ready for a wonderful weekend, which is mostly the same as well. We've been doing well. As I mentioned, the kids, we've got two more grandkids coming. And everything is Janet's been dealing with a lot of baby showers and all that good stuff down there. And I've been in D.C. myself. I was there on business purposes last week doing some lobbying for some technology issues and walking around Congress and speaking with everyone there. I have to say I was surprised at how non-dysfunctional it seemed. They were actually, things were getting done. I mean, they were quite focused. They were all in committee meetings, and we had to pull them out just to speak with them. But lots of activity going on there, which I was glad to see. Normally, I have a guest on that would, you know, we'd be talking about some faith topic or some spiritual dimension to our lives. But today, I thought we'd do something a little different. You're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, and if you're like me, you've been listening for many, many years. And so I thought it might be good to take a step back and actually focus on the radio station itself for a bit and understand sort of how we got here and, more importantly, where the station is heading and how we're improving it. So I'm very fortunate to have with me, as my guest, Frank Eliason, who is our director of operations here at the station. Frank wears many hats in life. He's probably one of the few people I know that actually has his own wiki page. If you know Wikipedia, he actually has his own page because he's a very well-accomplished and well-known author and speaker on customer service and how to improve customer service sort of in the digital age. He's been on TV, ABC News, he's been on the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, Forbes Magazine, and has built an incredible legacy of helping customers.
And on WISP.
And on WISP as well. So, Frank Eliason, welcome to the show. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Rich.
Frank is normally the guy behind the scenes here, you know, coming in and getting us set up for the show, and now he's actually sitting here with fingers on the buttons himself. But glad to have you on here.
Tide turns sometimes, and you do things a little differently. That's the nature of working here at the station.
Yeah, you do a little bit of everything, which is amazing, and that's one of the things I want to talk about. I don't know that most of our listeners know how much you've done in so little time that you've been here, but we'll get to that in a minute. I did want to just start off. And maybe you can share. I mean, I think we both have part of the story, and sort of the history of Holy Spirit Radio. So I would take it on a trip down memory lane, folks. For those of you that may have not been with us since the very beginning, tell you about how the station got started. Because Frank's family's been involved in this station since the very beginning, and talk about you know, where we are now, what kind of changes we have planned. And what's not going to change? I mean, I think that's just as important. There are some things
absolutely
that we're gonna, you know, that have been part and parcel of this station since the very beginning, and we intend to keep it that way. So let's start, Frank. I mean, you were, so just as way of background, Dale and Jane Meyer are the owners of the station. Frank is their son-in-law. He's married to their daughter, Carolyn. They have three grandchildren. Actually, they have a lot more grandchildren between the other children as
that's
well.
That's right.
But you were there at the very beginning.
Yep.
This used to be WBUX,
yep,
which was kind of a local, news and sports kind of programming.
Exactly. So it was a local programming in Doylestown, certainly a part of the community. But like many of the radio stations, things have been disrupted in that industry. As you know, many industries have been disrupted, and things changed, but it's left opportunities. And one of those opportunities is what led to Holy Spirit Radio, the fact that the station was available, the fact that Mother Angelica put out a call for people to think about purchasing stations and truly inspired Dale and Jane to start this as a foundation. So that, you know, we say owners, but it's really a foundation. It's right. a nonprofit right. that they started that has the radio station. And, you know, in knowing them, that was so against the grain, I would never have expected it. In fact, the way I found out about it was my mother read it in the newspaper.
Oh, boy.
And said something to me that, oh, you know, your in-laws bought a radio station. And my immediate answer was, no, they didn't. And turns out, actually, they did. Yeah. You know, but that's part of, you know, their nature is not to be front and center. And
they're very humble, quiet people.
And I think, you know, it's something we all can learn from them. You know, there's certainly a great opportunity to humbleness. And, you know, we're in the business world. And, you know, it's funny, compare and contrast of a lot of different things. And I'm sure we'll get into some of those conversations. But, you know, for me, it was something I did not expect. And,
well, I think they didn't expect it really either. Right?
Exactly. They had a calling, Mother Angelica put it, and they said, oh, and then the station was up for auction. They said, all right, let's go for it. They put a bid in, and put a few bids in, I'm sure. Lost
the bid, right.
And then all of a sudden got a phone call.
But I like the fact they said they lost a bid, and they kind of like, you know,
we did what we said we were going to do.
We did what we said. We answered the call. We did what Mother Angelica said. It didn't work out. We did our part.
Yeah.
And then what happened a week later?
They got a phone call saying, well, that other bid fell through, and so you're now the winning bid. And, you know, and that has led itself to WISP and, you know, the first radio station. It was, and certainly a very special moment, you know, but take it even a step back from that. And, you know, this is what happens when Dale doesn't come in to defend himself.
That's right. We invited him to be on the show with us, folks, just so you know. He demurred, but he's fair game now.
Yeah, exactly. So a year prior to this, you know, we're getting ready for our wedding and stuff like that. Mm. And, you know, my parents meet with him and everybody hits it off. And, you know, but there's this huge conversation about how we don't need computers. We don't need technology. He's not buying a computer. He's not getting, you know. And what happens, you all of a sudden you buy a radio station. What do you think one of the biggest things that as the radio station runs off of is computer and technology?
Well, I remember when, you know, he first announced to Jane that he was going to, you know, hey, I think we should, you know, do what Mother and Joe says and buy a station. She's like, what do you know about radio? Neither one of them have any radio background whatsoever. No technology background whatsoever. And it's really a real testimony to the Holy Spirit there. But anyway, so go ahead.
Exactly. And so, you know, all of a sudden I have a radio station. I wound up bringing some computers that I had in. Right. And like, you know, they were the first computers that we had here. And, you know, and now today he's doing things on technology all over the place quite regularly. And, you know, so it's really funny that the year before that, sitting there saying, I'm never going to have a computer.
Right.
Now I think he walks around with, he walked into my house last night with a computer. You know,
he's the accidental technologist. Yeah,
exactly.
He really, he's not afraid of it. He just,
he didn't have a need.
Didn't have a need for it. And, just a little more background on Frank. You may not know, before his role, current role here as Director of Operations, Frank was the guy behind the scenes that was put up our website, loaded up all our prior shows, and so on. So he's always been, Frank has always been the technology presence for Dale, but sort of whenever Dale needed. Now we're going to talk about your role in a minute, but you're in a much more active technology role now.
It's one of the interesting things is, you know, Holy Spirit Radio is actually one of the first radio stations, Catholic radio stations, to actually have a website. And so today, really? When you start to search like Catholic radio and whatnot, oftentimes the first thing you get is Holy Spirit Radio.
Really?
Because it's been out there for so long.
I didn't even know that.
Well, yes. Oh, I remember all the different websites. We have various versions of it. Some versions people liked, some versions they didn't like.
So we went on air in 1999.
We had first website might have been in 99.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
A few years sort of after the internet really took off.
That is correct. Yeah. And it was kind of this pinkish, weird looking thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then it evolved into a black one, which was one of my favorite ones. But I was one of the few that actually liked the black one. had stained glass windows. It was kind of cool when you looked at it. And then, you know, it's evolved, and today it's obviously a much different website, a much more fine-tuned and, you know, smoother experience.
Sure.
But, you know, the fact is, even back then, I didn't even know how to build a website.
Right. And the tools were not there back then.
Exactly. And yeah. So did and figured it out and evolved that ever since. And today we have a very thriving website. Now we have tons of listeners from around the globe because we were also one of the early broadcasters online. So we were one of the first broadcasters, and it's really funny because I'm about to do an upgrade to that to make it even easier for people to listen online. But, you know, these are things that Holy Spirit Radio did, and, you know, it was one of the early Catholic radio stations, one of the first DWTN affiliates, I think 20 or so, somewhere
right,
around there.
Right, there's only about 20 when we came on the air, 2025.
Exactly. Now there's, what, 800 or so? There's
hundreds.
Actually, yeah, hundreds. And so, you know, it's really kind of fascinating as you watch that, but back then, not only did we have the radio station, we had the website. You know, we did a lot of different things, and these were not within our skill sets.
Right.
These were things that we're going to figure this out. And we did. And so it, in some ways, it's helped myself grow. It actually gave me huge respect for the internet and the capabilities that you can use for it, which wound up helping my career. So all benefits.
Right, yeah, because you were one of the first social media pioneers using customer service for Comcast, helping them turn around their service nightmares back then. So let me talk a little bit about the early days. So we bought the station. The station consists of a building, some land, about a couple acres of land. I think.
I think it's like 12 or something. It's a good amount of acreage.
In a beautiful rural section of Doylestown, and then we have the giant towers outside, and then a lot of equipment on the inside. So, I don't know how much you were involved in the beginning, but I mean, sort of understanding all this equipment and getting it to actually function properly has been a challenge right from the start.
Well, it was, but we were blessed, actually. Our engineer, who is still with us, Dave McCork, he actually came with the station and was one of the people that was helping us out initially. So, you know, he knew the equipment, he knew how it was. But it is kind of interesting when you think through radio. AM radio has evolved, but it really hasn't evolved that much. He has a book he actually just gave me, which is from the 1940s of radio.
Wow.
And it's like, you read this, you'll actually understand what everything does here. But it's kind of interesting to have, you know, you have these soundboards, you have these computers that run things, and how this all interacts can all date back in ways. But, you know, with that with the technology, you have things like phone systems. You have a phone system here that was here probably 20 years before we were here, probably even longer than that.
Yeah.
But it's actually extraordinarily important. It's difficult to just take away because it's integrated into the audio, so we can have people on the air. So there's reasons behind things, and you sometimes take it for granted. If I'm home and I want a new phone system, I unplug the phone, I plug in a new phone. No big deal.
Yeah. Not so easy here.
Not so easy. One thing will lead to another, which leads to another, and you have to figure out, before I do this, what is going to be the impact? What happens if I pull this plug?
Right.
And found some of those things out accidentally over the years, too.
Yeah. I think that's, we're going to get to sort of some of the things you've been doing since you got here. But I want to just finish up the history. So we were, WISP 1570, which covers, Doylestown and parts of Philadelphia. And we wanted to expand. For those of you not familiar with the radio industry, the broadcasting industry, there's certain limits imposed by the FCC. So the Federal Communications Commission regulates the airwaves, and you basically buy a license for a certain frequency in a certain area of the country. So we have 1570 here, and it's got a certain shape to the signal and how far it can reach. And there's basically a 1570 in New York, and one in Baltimore, and one in Harrisburg. I mean, there's 1570s or 1560s, somewhere around there, stations all around us. So we have to be respectful. We can't just increase our signal randomly, or, even though technically we could go out there and just turn the knob and boost the signal, we'd be in violation of our license, and the FCC could actually shut us down.
And a lot of people don't even understand in the evenings, and so this especially becomes noticeable in winter. Our signal actually for Doylestown for 1570 actually has to go down from 5,000 watts to a little less than 1,000. And so that means the areas it hits is much less. But the reason behind that is there's a primary station. So there's, you know, basically you have these smaller stations, then you might have a primary one that actually really has control over that, and you can't interfere with that station. In this case, that primary station's in Canada.
Oh, Canada.
And, you know, so because of that and the way airwaves travel at night, they require us to go down.
Right, because when the sunlight, your signal, you can send it out further because the sun sort of stops it. Without the sun, the signal goes a lot farther.
Yeah, so that's why in the evening, and sometimes, they, you know, you may be listening and all of a sudden you can't hear. But that's also why you bring in alternative ways to listen. So, you know, that's why we were very early with making available listening online,
right.
Making it a very easy way. So today, if you can't get it over the air, you can always get it on your phone.
I get on TuneIn all the time.
That's right.
I listen to it in India sometimes when I go there. I mean, it's just available everywhere. Let's just talk about that. Finish up. So one of the ways that you can increase your coverage is, as you said, of course, being on the internet. The other way is to to buy more stations in the area, and that, which is one of the things that Holy Spirit Radio did. I'm trying to remember when we did that.
8 years ago,
yeah,
maybe?
Eight, 9 years ago, yeah. Something like that. We actually went out and bid on another station, WCOJ 1420 AM down in Coatesville, with a similar kind of profile as WBUX, you know, local news, local sports and programming and things like that. And same kind of thing where they were up for sale, and we reached out to them, and it's slightly different deal, not really the land with this deal,
but that's
the,
right.
But the access to the towers and a small station, a small broadcasting booth, if you will. And again, through the marvels of technology, we're able to buy that and then sync it up with this station. So as Frank and I sit here and talking to these microphones, it's not just going out over the towers here in Doylestown. It's also being simulcast, if you will. I'm not sure the technical
I was thing. Just there yesterday putting in some new equipment. So one of the things is that, yeah, it goes via internet to there. And then automatically plays, you know, very quickly, actually. There's different protocols in technology, basically it said something that's very quick, and then it's pretty much at the exact same moment we're talking, it's actually going out over the air there. It's really neat to understand how that technology works and be able to get more out of it sometimes in some ways. So COJ was purchased, but, you know, both COJ and WBUX had a very long history.
Yeah.
And that's actually also quite kind of fascinating, because with both these radio stations, not only were you provided the station, in most cases we have chunks of history that came along with it.
Right.
And, you know, it's really interesting to look at radio back in the 1930s and the 1950s and what that looked like and compare it to today. And we have a lot of that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, COJ was, you know, brought in, and it's certainly been a big piece of what we do and expanded our listening audience.
Yeah, it took a while, I'd say, to, you know, switch the audience over, right? Because they used to one format, and suddenly here comes this Catholic radio format, and everybody's like, what's this? And of course, you lose some listeners, but then it took probably about, I'd say, 2-3 years to sort of reestablish our new base of listeners down there.
Yeah, but, you know, it's really, the transition itself, though, is actually quite interesting, you know, because one of the former owners, it was a partnership, one of the former owners was also highly Catholic and started to actually be involved, and he was actually producing shows for us and allowing us to be a part of the community in a very interesting way. Now, he's since moved to a different part of the state, and he's not able to help, but it's funny because even his spirit in Coatesville is still around, because I received a call the other day where the person just got off the phone with him, and he sent them our way.
Nice.
And so, you know, you can have these nice relationships in this business.
Yeah, yeah, and it is fun to be in a building. We're in this building that's it's been a radio station for a long time, so we're sort of like an equivalent of the newsroom right now, and we're in the broadcast booth. Our next one is the newsroom,
which is my storage area for a lot of stuff.
Now,
but that's neither here nor there.
But you can see that, like, there's a window connecting the two rooms, so as news flashes would come through, they'd hand them to the broadcaster. So there's a nice history here as well.
And you can look out at all the transmission equipment and see it right outside the other window. So if you've ever seen any type, if you've watched WKRP in Cincinnati, you've seen the windows that they have in studios, and we have that here.
Hasn't changed that much.
Hasn't changed. It's been the same style.
Yeah.
And that's what we have here. I actually really have gotten to enjoy looking at some of the equipment
it
like
is,
that.
It is impressive. All right, let's just remind our listeners, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 in Doylestown and WCLJ 1420 AM in Coatesville. The show here is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and have as my guest today our Director of Operations for the radio station, Frank Eliason. And we're just going to spend today recapping for our listeners sort of how we got where we are, because I know this radio station has touched so many lives, certainly touched Jan and my life. I wouldn't be a deacon without this station. I know many of my friends, fellow priests and deacons in the seminary, also point to this station as being a big part of their formation and their vocation. So I thought it would be good just to do a little retrospective on the station, sort of introduce Frank to everyone. When did you start here more full-time?
Probably in September-ish, yeah. Right as I start my business partnership for my real business, yeah. And this at the same time. So it's been quite an interesting ride. And my wife's been involved as well. So, it's nothing new. We've been involved in the station
since the start.
And so, it's just, spending a little bit more time here and helping with some things. But it's really interesting the Spirit works in general.
Yeah,
and I was going to say, I'm going to go backwards in time first, which is, because we were just talking about how it's impacted people. And my wife and I don't really talk about how it's impacted us, and some days the way it's impacted us ways we sit there and shake our head on negative. No,
yeah,
just
right,
kidding. Right. When you get that phone call at 3 a.m. because the station went off the air, you might get a little, but that's not, it's actually had a huge positive impact on us. And one of which was obviously meeting you and your wife. But to get more into that actually a little bit, because, we don't really share that the full length of the story.
Yeah.
But, my wife back in 2000 was pregnant and was had a very unique pregnancy. And so, what do you
difficult.
Do? It was a very difficult pregnancy. And truthfully, the advice was to discontinue the pregnancy,
right.
including from a religion. They actually brought in people from the Catholic faith to say that this would be okay because it would be treating
the mother.
They're treating the issue.
Right.
And, one of the things was, I don't know, my wife might be upset that I'm talking about this on the air, but we will. Already went down this path. But ultimately...
I'm getting a call from her now.
Yeah, exactly. My texts are going off. Now, but what, you sit there and go, what do I do? What's the right thing to do? And what wound up happening was we met Joe Cunningham, and he talked to us about this woman, Gianna.
Gianna, yes.
And at the time... wound up giving us her gloves. We had them in our house.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't realize.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we had the gloves. We have a picture that we have hanging up here that we had in our house. And,
there's now Saint Gianna.
That is correct. This was before she was a saint. And we my wife decided, you know what? I feel fine. I'm going to continue.
Yeah.
So she continued with the pregnancy, even against medical advice. And then Gianna, our daughter, was born September, which was, she was premature. She was born a number of weeks early, but relatively speaking, healthy. And she did, was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, and she was born early. But for the most part, she was in, the neonatal intensive care for a few months, 3 months, and then came home. And then later on, not that long after, is when, about a year or so later, you met Gianna as she was running around at a station event.
Radio. That was my night of my first prayer I ever said in my life was that night.
Exactly. And, having that, being touched by that and being touched by learning about Blessed Gianna the way we did, and a number of weird, I'll say coincidences. I'm not going to sit and say, oh, a miracle moment.
Well, what they say about a coincidence.
Yeah.
It's just God's way of remaining anonymous,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. It was certainly an incredible experience.
Oh, absolutely.
And, and she was not supposed to be born. She was did quite well. And, it was, at station events all the time. And because it was the station, she would run around. You got to see her running around. And,
And we met
that was before we even met.
Right.
And, you know, what was interesting is your wife has cystic fibrosis. Right. And so that wound up leading to a conversation with Dale about that. And I think he was kind of surprised by this. We didn't know people yep. with cystic fibrosis. And then we had that dinner.
There aren't too many adults with it. But,
that's right.
Right. But we had dinner at
exactly.
the William Penn Inn.
That's right. And so it became like this inspiring thing. Now, our daughter Gia did pass away a number of years back after nothing to do with that early piece, but she had cancer. But that piece and that state, especially when she was born, was extraordinarily powerful. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sit and say I haven't questioned my faith after she passed and whatnot.
Yeah.
I have.
Of course.
And I think that's you know, human nature. But, you know, this station has this weird way of pulling you in mm-hmm. in different ways. And sometimes in humbling ways and sometimes in very freeing ways. Yeah. And, you know, that's happened quite a bit. And that's, you know, happened even, you know, more recently when we, you know, started to get more involved. You know, so what happened was a number of years back, started working in New York. So we actually moved away. We weren't that far away. I couldn't bring myself to move all the way to New York. So, you know, we were living in New Jersey. And so we actually moved back to the area, back in September, and you know, started to get a little bit involved. It was more or less just to help out with filling in with some things, and literally at that moment things happened. You know, first week I started helping out a little bit. Dale needed to try. They were traveling, and I said, "Oh, I'll watch the station." This is how it started. And I swear,
Dale does that.
He was just sucking me in.
Exactly.
And so what happens? You know, he goes away. The main computer system that runs the station went. Now, to give you an idea, you know, the station does not like put money out to buying all different things. It tries to be, they try and be very frugal.
Very, almost painfully frugal.
That's right. And to give you an idea, the computer that was here, I actually looked it up. I think I had a 486 processor. It had the craziest processor.
Mid to late 90s.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. And I was like, what the heck is this? And how is this working, the station? So anyway, that went. So literally, I wound up being here with the engineer until like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning one night, putting in a temporary computer system. And we had to order a new computer system. It was about time. I mean, the old computer, we got our money's worth out of it.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, we went from that computer to kind of a state-of-the-art type setup that allows us to do a lot of different things that we didn't have the capabilities of, and we're still just hooking some of that up.
Well, I think that's, you know, to me, you know, as we said, Dale kind of draws you in slowly, but I think even he, as the accidental technologist that, you know, doesn't overinvest in technology, realized that the station needs a refresh of a lot of technology across the board. I mean, as you mentioned, phone systems, computer systems, switchboards here. I mean, boards that control things, backup systems, you know, everything is at least 20 years old. And
some
of it was 20 years old when we bought the station 20 years ago. So it was more than time for a refresh. So Dale kind of just figured he probably had you at a weak moment.
Exactly. And so we started doing those things. But literally, and also at that same time, we started a new morning show, Gary Zimak, and we did Spirit in the Morning. And so it was also partially, how are we going to mold that? And, you know, the way I look at programming is I think EWTN has fabulous programming.
Yep. And we broadcast mostly EWTN.
And that's what
shows.
We broadcast.
Yeah.
I don't want to deliver something that EWTN's already delivering.
Right, right.
There's no reason for it. If they're delivering it, that's great. So what do we need to deliver? We need to deliver that local content that you can't get from EWTN.
Right.
Absolutely. That's not necessarily what Spirit of the Morning was going to be about. So what Spirit of the Morning is very different, is it's high energy music and talks and interviews, but it's a very different energy level than you typically find. And the music wouldn't necessarily appeal to everybody. But I would suggest to people that a lot of it is about new evangelization, and that's a term I think is a little overused. But the thing about new evangelization is, how do we reach people in different ways that may not be expecting it? And one of the things that we do know is music, whether you like the music or not, speaks to people in very unique ways.
Sure.
So if you make the right choices in music and you get someone who's flipping through the dial and they catch something, maybe they don't even know it's religious. Maybe they don't even get that it's religious.
Right.
And they just listen for a few seconds.
Right.
Now it gives us a chance to bring them in.
Sure.
And then from there, we can then allow EWTN programming to do what it does best.
Right, to educate and nourish, yeah.
That is correct. And so, you know, I look at this, and we look at programming all the time, is does it fulfill a need that maybe is not out there elsewhere, and, you know, or is not something that is currently happening? And it's difficult. People don't understand all the aspects that go into radio, one of which is licensing. So in order to broadcast a lot of music, you actually have to have a music license.
Right.
Most radio stations do not, most Catholic radio stations would not have a music license. It costs a lot of money. We actually do. And so EWTN, it would be difficult for them to broadcast license because then every affiliate would have to have the music license.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a music license, so now we're able to actually broadcast this. It gives us something that is unique.
Right.
And why do we choose the time slot that we chose? We chose the time slot because I thought it was really important to reach people when they were driving.
In the drive time, sure.
And that drive time when you're, you know, with radio and music, and we try to keep high energy.
Well, Gary does that very well.
I don't know how he does it at that point.
6 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. And so, you know, he's energized. And so by doing that, it does allow us to reach different people that wouldn't normally be part of our audience. And we get that. And so we're not trying to alienate people. We're trying to bring people in.
Right.
And this is how we bring them into the faith, which this station has always done a very nice job at doing. And I think the more we can do that, the better it is for the faith.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on that in a second. Just remind our listeners again, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown and WCLJ 1420 AM in Coatesville. The show here is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and I have as our guest Frank Eliason, the Director of Operations here at Holy Spirit Radio. Excuse me. And talking about sort of, he's only been in this role a few months and already has made dramatic changes, but talking about, you know, how the station got here and where we're heading. I did want to, before we go any further, you reminded me, you know, you talked a little bit about Gia. And I don't know if I shared this story with you, but certainly I don't think I've shared it with my listeners. But, you know, Gia is like my own personal saint, is the way I look at it. She died, she was 4, so we know she's in heaven. And by definition, anyone in heaven is a saint. So she's my own personal saint, and I pray to her often. And I'll be seeing her this weekend at the Shrine of Częstochowa, where she's buried. But when I was in my seminary years, I was going through the seminary, like most men, at some point, you question, should I continue? You know, at this time, I was very busy. I was the CEO of a company. I was running around crazy. And you know, the demands of the diaconate formation program are you know, serious classes and homework and tests and papers and so on. And I'm thinking, gee, maybe I shouldn't do this anyway. I'm kind of done here. This is just too much. And that night, I can't even call it a dream. It was almost like a vision. But it was a dream of being at a family picnic, a big picnic, not even a family picnic, but a big picnic, lots of people. And now that I've been to the retreat center at Częstochowa, I realized it took place right in front of that. I hadn't even seen it yet, but it took place in front of there. And everybody's there, and Gia's there, and you're there, and you know, lots of people there. And I announced that I have to leave. Gia, I know it's Gia there in my dream. And Gia is like pulling me, saying, no, you cannot leave, you can't leave, you can't leave. And I said, no, I gotta go. And so I start walking to my car. She runs ahead of me, jumps through the window of the car. It is all in my dream now. Pulls on the steering wheel a number of times until she pulls the steering wheel off. And she throws it out the window. And she gives me a big smile. And like, you can't leave now, that kind of thing. And it was a very powerful dream for me. And the next day I woke up and took that as a sign to say, all right, stick it out. You know, stay in the diaconate program a little longer. So I pray to Gia, little Gia, often. She's like my, like I said, my personal saint. And I wouldn't have had that had I didn't have this radio station and your involvement in it.
One of my favorite moments actually happened this past year, which was when St. Gianna's daughter was here.
Yes, we invited St. Gianna's daughter.
And so we have a picture of my family with St. Gianna's daughter. So we had the mother of a Saint Gianna, the father of a Saint Gianna, the sisters of a Saint Gianna, and the daughter of a Saint Gianna in one picture. It was kind of an interesting thing. I look at that photo all the time.
What a sweet woman. Well, I mean, it felt like, you can look at our archives, folks, if you want to listen to that show. It was back in the summertime.
Yeah.
But it was like talking to a saint, a living saint. I mean, she was the most holy, wonderful woman. So uplifting, but full of joy, but so spiritual, so beautiful.
Exactly. And so it was just a great opportunity to meet her, and obviously her mother's been a part of our lives quite a lot over the years. So, you know.
And there's a shrine, the St. Gianna Shrine in Nativity Parish in Warminster, where the gloves are usually out on display.
That's right.
Those are the same gloves?
They are the same gloves.
Wow. Yeah. That's something. It's I was just there a couple weeks ago.
And the gloves do travel too. So,
yeah.
I believe they're going to be, I forget where they're going to be. They're going to be somewhere near lower Bucks County, somewhere one of these weeks.
Okay.
I saw that.
Well, let's get back to the
let's get
back to the station.
I
know, me too. Such an influence on both our lives. So let's talk, you know, you come in here now. Tell me sort of, you know, what you see that needs to be changed or what you've already changed in the short term.
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, we have to admit radio has been disrupted. People have so much access to content that they've never had before. And one of our jobs is to make content easier for you, make it easier for you to find it, easier to utilize it, and make sure that we're delivering the right content. Now, there's big radio stations that'll say, oh, radio is completely disrupted or the model's going away. This is actually what I talk through in my regular business and when I talk to the business world.
Disruption.
Exactly. Yeah. And the funny thing is, what I've always found is first and foremost is not to look forward, but look backwards. And when you look backwards at radio, you can, and we have all these great albums that are quite old from both COJ and BUX. One of the things you see throughout those albums is pictures of them not in the studio as much.
You're talking about photo albums.
These are photo albums. Yeah. And the pictures are not necessarily of them in the studio. It's more often them out in the community somewhere.
On site, live. So,
live on site. And it's really interesting because I'm not even certain how they did it back then. But they, you know, broadcasting at like small mom and pop shops and stuff like that. So one of the early things that we did was we actually invested in technology that allows us now to do remote broadcast easily.
Yeah.
And so, you know, since doing that, we've broadcast from Lansdale Catholic. We've broadcast from the dining car in Frankfurt Avenue, a diner.
Right.
We broadcast from Marianne's Bake Shop here. You know, we broadcast from other schools.
From the cathedral, too, I think, right?
What's that?
From the cathedral downtown? Have you done that yet?
Well, we do broadcast from there. We have a different capability that we've had for a while. In fact, the first broadcast on COJ was a mass from the cathedral.
Oh, yeah.
A little piece of trivia. But basically, what happens is we have this technology now. So, like, in 2 weeks, we have Man Up Philly coming up.
Right.
We're actually going to be broadcasting live for 4 hours from Man Up Philly.
Nice.
And bringing the speakers as interview guests during this 4 hour from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. Or, I just made it a lot longer. From 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., we're going to broadcast live. So right at the start of the event.
Nice.
This is, to me, is how you get, you have to be, you want to be out in the community in some way. What a better place to be than an event like Man Up Philly. So that technology that we invested in, we broadcast actually from different parts of the country. In fact, last week we were broadcasting from Mobile, Alabama, because one of our morning show host, Gary, was actually traveling. So he was able to broadcast. One of the coolest things was a regular listener called up and said, I knew he was traveling. How did he sound like he did? He sounded like he was right in the studio.
Yeah.
And it's because we have this technology that we brought in. So, you know, so we've done a lot of different things like that. That technology is extraordinarily important, but not cheap.
And also, you're saying, going back to the past, it's one of the things that makes radio distinct from some of the other media formats that are out there they can choose from.
Exactly, including newer technologies.
Newer technology, that's what I mean.
The fact is, it's something you can't compete to have broadcast quality from any type of live event. So if, you know, the Shrine of Częstochowa is doing an event and they'd like us to be there, we can be there. It doesn't require us anything. I literally don't even need electric. I can broadcast for 4 hours straight without even worrying about batteries or anything.
Right.
It's that easy. Wow. So that's a really cool technology that we brought in. But we've done a lot of other things. The phone system, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we have a very old phone system. And, you know, we couldn't completely switch it over because it would require a lot of other pieces. So what we did was we actually separated it. Mm-hmm. So now we have the older phone system still exists, and we use that strictly for when we have people on the air. And, you know, but then we now, for our business purposes, have a new phone system that has the modern conveniences that you'd expect with a modern phone system and the different capabilities.
Voicemail.
You know, it has a caller ID and, like, you know, all different technologies that we take for granted at home was something that we couldn't have before. We're also, like, you know, upgrading the backup transmitter that we have here, you know, because the other one was, you know, very old and it wouldn't necessarily work. We're working on, you know, getting backup generator and our Coatesville location back up and running because it hasn't been running since we purchased the station. I was just down there yesterday and replaced, again, similar to the computer here, it had a really old computer system that was, and it wasn't running things because we'd run things differently with there because it's really a feed from here, but it was the backup. If something went down, it was what ran it. And it was actually a very old computer. I couldn't do newer things with it.
Right.
So one of the neat things is it used to be in the past, if the station did go down, it would come up with this computer, local computer system would play some stuff. It was really old stuff.
Yeah.
Well, now we have a new computer system in there that now literally, if we went down, and hopefully it doesn't, but if we went down and they didn't have the feed coming from our Doylestown location, it would actually be playing the same stuff from 1 week earlier. All fresh, always refreshed.
And
so it still has to play. You can't play, you know, I can't set up satellites and do all kinds of stuff that we do here.
Right.
That would be costly and probably not effective. But it's pretty effective to at least have up-to-date content that it's able to deliver.
Yep.
But these are things that do cost a lot of money and take time. So
and you have to test it.
I had it broadcasting in my dining room for probably about the past 2 weeks. I think I was probably driving everybody a little crazy in my house. But, you know, we need to test it. We need to make sure it's going to work. And then even with that, you put it in and go, I hope this works. Yeah. And so we're doing things like that. We're trying to make it, and some of the things are simple things behind the scenes where things used to go down and it might require someone to come in to do stuff. I now can go on my phone and I can turn on and off all kinds of different things.
Right.
The reason that's beneficial is maybe some little box somewhere that I'm not even certain what it does, but I know it connects this to that. I can reboot it from my phone anywhere in the world and all of a sudden it's back up again.
Nice.
And so where before it would require someone to travel to it, whether it be traveling out to our COJ location or traveling to Doylestown, I can now at least do a number of things right from my phone.
Right.
And it makes it fast,
easy. That's so important. And it just gives, you know, all this stuff that Frank's talking about, folks, is, you know, you will never see all this stuff yourself, but these are the things that Frank is bringing us to, you know, up to date on so that, you know, it affects, we can continue to be on the air, you know, despite problems. We can continue to bring you, you know, live broadcast in a lot of diverse spaces. So it affects the quality of the broadcast, even though you don't necessarily see it. It's all behind the scenes for you. And even for me, as when I'm on the air, I mean, I'm learning this for the first time from Frank. I know he's been doing a lot of stuff, but I don't really see it. I press the go button and that's pretty much it. But these are the kinds of things it takes to run a modern station, to be cost effective too, because this means we don't have to hire lots of engineers all the time to come on site because we have this all automated.
That's right. And like even today, we installed a device that basically takes the stuff that comes in from satellite or if it comes in through the internet and actually puts it at the same levels. Why is that important? Well, because sometimes if you've ever noticed, we listen to something that's really loud and other times really soft and you're like, you keep having to adjust your dial. You don't want to have to do that. It's a bad listening experience. We just put equipment in today that actually does it before it comes into us.
Yeah.
So now it should make it much easier, much smoother of what goes out. And so, you know, these are things that we're thinking about, we're trying to implement, you know, and there's more things to do, but sometimes things cost too much money and we say, now's not the time. You know, someday I'd love to convert everything to digital,
right.
You know, and, you know, that would make for a different listening experience. But you know what? That requires pretty much every piece of equipment to be touched.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, how do we do that in a smart way and not rush to it? Right. You know, and I don't want to, you know, because otherwise it might not be beneficial. So you have to do things in a thought out fashion. But some of it's even simplistic things like, you know, to many of our computers, which now we have all kinds of weird backup stuff to make sure we always have everything. We're never losing anything ever. Yeah. But beyond all that, believe it or not, the computers are so important that they run the place. You need them to actually turn on instantly, because if something happened where they shut off for some reason, that could take the station down. So, you know, they all have certain things built into them or changed in them. Yep. Even for a brand new computer, you sometimes have to change things in it.
Yep.
So it becomes instant back on.
Yeah.
And so that way, no one recognizes that you even went down for a second. Mm-hmm. And it was really funny because one of the things I did when I was talking about COJ was for backups. And, you know, I tested it a little bit, but I was like, as I was leaving, I'm like, oh, I want to test this, you know, a little bit more. So I pulled over and I tried to turn things off. Well, we've gotten it so good that everything I turned off that I thought it would kick over to the backup came back up too fast. And so it never even got it. We never engaged the backup. It was really funny. I'm like, well, that's what I get for putting in technology. At least it all works the way it should. You know,
That's good. You know, and for me, probably the most significant feature you've implemented?
The cough button.
Which you folks, if you don't know about it, so we're sitting here on the microphone, and if you have to cough, there's a little button here that would used to disengage the microphone, mm-hmm. and then it stopped working years and years ago, and so you'd have to kind of turn away and you know, cover your mouth and so on. But here, now the cough button works. In fact, I'm going to try it. All right. Look at that. It works. So, I mean, Frank has done some big things, and then just these little things that help it make it convenient and easier to use as we go through our daily shows here.
Yeah, I want it to be, first of all, my view is radio is not going anywhere. And, you know,
yeah, let's talk about it. Because let's just remind our listeners once again, Frank. We're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP, 1570 AM and 1420 AM in Coatesville. And this is Deacon Dialogues. And today we're talking with our guest, Frank Eliason, the Director of Operations here for Holy Spirit Radio. And we've been talking about a little bit of the history of Holy Spirit Radio, some of the changes he's made coming in. But I do want to talk about two more things. One is, so what's the future of radio in general and the future of Holy Spirit Radio? Mm-hmm. And then we talked about things that have changed. Let's talk about some things that haven't changed. But let's talk about, where do you see radio in general going? Because it's certainly being disrupted and transformed.
I think it's been disrupted in many ways. But it's interesting. I think there's benefits to disruption, which is we've watched the business world consolidate quite a bit in the radio business. There's now, really, if you look at the radio stations owned in Philadelphia, it's now down to mainly two players.
Really?
Across the board. Why is that important? Well, you know, ultimately, it's actually driving down the value of some stations. The reason why that's good, I'd love to someday have an FM station.
Yeah.
AM stations have come down in value that we can certainly, you know, consider finding the right one there, but even FM stations will come down.
We never used to be able to consider FM because it was too expensive.
That's right. Yeah. And so if the right person came along, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
we could get to this point, but the reason, you know, it's going to continue to get disrupted. I don't see the disruption stopping, because the one problem I find in the industry is they're not looking backwards at what made them good.
Yeah.
You know, so if you look at most radio programming today, it's pre-programmed, not very human. Even the DJs are oftentimes now computerized. It's not that great of an experience. I'm not going to have a great experience with you and I want to listen to this, I can go online and listen to this and get the same thing.
Right.
So I think the key is differentiation and making sure you're good at what you're about. And so for us, what does that mean? That means making sure that we continue having really great programming from EWTN, making sure that when we do have local programming, that it's adding some unique value that you cannot get elsewhere. So you want to get it, whether it be little things like community, what's going on in the world, community bulletin board, or whether it be things that inspire you, whatever the case may be.
Well, shows that entertain you, like Gary's show a little bit.
That's right. Or, you know, one of the things I was looking at yesterday was online was this Air Theater that's putting together really new age radio theater, things that could be used. And it was quite interesting. And it was Catholic. And it was, in fact, I was so inspired by it, I actually wrote to the president of the organization.
Mm.
You know, and so to say, hey, you know, I really love what you're doing here. I'd love to talk more. You know, because I think there is new ways to get people interested. And the thing that fascinated me in listening to air radio was it was a unique, or I forget what they called it, but the theater, radio theater or whatever they called it. And the reason it was unique was it kind of went backwards in what radio used to be when it was the radio shows. Mm-hmm. But it was taking some modern looks at, in this case, St. Francis of Assisi. And it was kind of an interesting piece. And so I was listening to it and I was like, this is really engaging. And so I think it's important for us to think smart about content. And I think it's about smart about not just the traditional person that you listen to, but someone else. What would make someone want to listen?
Right.
If I sat and said, oh, I'm going to play this, thing about St. Francis of Assisi, and you'd be like, I don't necessarily know. I'd rather listen to this music over here.
Right.
But if I give you something that has this really great sound effects and sounds good and is an engaging story, that kind of pulls you in.
Right.
Now that's powerful.
Right.
And so,
Like those live radio shows where they would act it out in front of you.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think there's ways to build this content and find this content. So I think the nature of radio is not changing. I think what's changing is we have to make sure that it's more hyperlocal, and it's delivering on that hyperlocal. But at the same time has the abilities to deliver online in ways people want it, whether it be here's the stream of shows or here's the individual shows that you would want.
Right.
And so I think it's having each of these capabilities and being able to deliver it. So I think that what we're going to see is radio stations, we're seeing this in newspapers right now. It's kind of fascinating. Newspaper, which probably disrupted before radio was.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now, the past few months, newspapers are now in vogue again.
Yeah.
And, what did they do? If you really look at what they did, they kind of went back to being more writing the right articles,
the news, right
doing
there,
the news the right way.
More unbiased even, yeah?
Exactly. It wasn't that hard.
Right.
It was actually, and I still think there's some biases and all that, but, it'll work itself out over time.
Yeah, but a move back towards that
but
as opposed
they moved
to
back.
Being,
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think it's really interesting, and I think radio is a great example of it, but I think we're nimble enough and we're small enough that we can kind of think a little differently than these big companies can.
Right.
Well,
right.
I've worked in big companies for years.
Right.
I advise big companies, quite often.
Right.
And, the reality is, even if you tell them to look backwards, they're not going to do it. They're, I need to look over at the shiny object over here.
Right.
And so this gives us that opportunity to say, here's what radio is really about.
Yeah.
And I think, you're going to see more and more of that. And that's why we will invest in the right local shows. But we're going to still have the really good EWTN shows. There's stuff that's really powerful in how that teaches you. And so it's having the right balance in these things and making sure it fits together properly.
Right.
And I won't say it's not a challenge because you change the show from this to that. Inevitably, or if EWTN even makes a change, inevitably we get a phone call saying, you move this. Actually, right. Maybe we didn't, and they did.
Right. But I think there's value in, board meetings and stuff, we talk about the programming and stuff, there's value in shaking it up.
Yeah.
Because, yes, people, do get, like to see certain shows at certain times, but then other people may never have been able to listen to that show before because it wasn't on the right hour, and now it is,
yep,
given their own personal schedule. So, I always say, there's like three separate missions of our station and of all Catholic radio, but and that these are things that we won't change, right? Things that will stay the same, and no matter what other technology changes we make. One is we're always focused on creating an invitation, an invitation to Christ, to get to know Christ through lots of different ways, sometimes through music, sometimes through light dialogue, sometimes through, experiences of other people that have come to walks of faith. So it's always an invitation. It's never, we work best, the Catholic faith works best when we invite through our own experience, through our own witness of saying, this is why I'm so joyful. Look at this, not force it down people's throat, but invite people in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's partly invitation, partly where I got a lot of value out of the station in the early years was just in its ability to educate me on, okay, so I want to be Catholic again. What does that mean? What is it, I think, and I don't think I speak alone, my generation was pretty I don't want to say poorly catechized, but the church at the time was focused on, it was reacting to all the changes in the modern world and, you know, and trying to be forward-thinking. But the reality, all I remember through all my years of high school and grammar school and Catholic school was, like, making collages. I mean, I didn't learn about my faith. And so Catholic radio does, a good job of correcting the problem of, I always say, as a business guy, Catholic Church has a great product but lousy marketing.
Yeah.
We don't do a good job of explaining the richness and the beauty of our faith. And so a big part of what we do and will continue to do is make sure we're either broadcasting EWTN or our own shows that help people understand why we believe what we believe. Because I found when I came in, I was always impressed about how well thought out, and it's mm-hmm. kind of like, you don't think about a faith being organized, but As a logic and science guy, I needed that. I need to see this is a religion that makes sense. I mean, mm-hmm. it's actually rational, even though, it involves belief. It's actually well thought out. So we will always be good at and continue to explain our faith to those that may have questions, whether they're Catholic, longstanding Catholics, whether they're new Catholics, whether they're people that are curious about mm-hmm. Catholics. And then the last thing is, we always have to nourish. So part of what you said is we have to draw people in.
Yep.
But once we get them there, we have to nourish them. So we have to educate them first, and then we have to nourish them. And that's the things we will continue to do, like the rosary and the Divine Chaplet and the Mass and liturgical music and things like that.
I think it's all imperative. But I would also suggest, we've been in the business world, for quite a while. And in the business world, in my evaluation of it, I've been doing a lot of deep thinking about this, and we've spoken about it too.
Yeah.
I think there's often a loss of faith in this world.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's really hurt our moral compass of, and this is why certain things are the way they are. It's actually hurt our hope for things. And that's actually, in my view, added to the divide that's in the world today, because, we don't have something to look forward to.
Right.
We seem to be looking forward to bad things as opposed to the good things that come in life. But, and I think there's also an opportunity for us to show the love that the Catholic faith also has. I think it's easy to show judgment.
Yeah.
And I think we do. And I think it's, how do we show that other side, that positive side that caused people to go, I want to be there.
Yeah, I want what
she has. Exactly.
Right. That's what I said when I saw my wife come into the faith. I want what she has.
Exactly. And these are the things that I think we have to highlight. One of the shows that I love to develop is, and this is my wife's idea, is Corporal Works of Mercy in action.
Hmm.
Faith in action. What are things that are being done in the community that's local? It's not going to get highlighted on the news.
Right.
But where you sit there and go, I want to do that, or I want to see that. Because,
right.
We see it all the time, but there's so many people that don't.
Right.
How do we get that to be highlighted?
Right.
How do we do it in a smart way? And so, these are the things that we think about. These are this is the way we think.
Mm.
And so I think that this is going to continue. And I also think that there's opportunities to work with some great content that's out there elsewhere. I've worked on, getting agreements with Vatican Radio so we can do things like that.
Yeah.
And why? Because Vatican Radio puts a lot of money towards creating good content, but it doesn't necessarily have the distribution globally that it would like.
Right.
Well, if we can have ways to do that, let's do it.
Right.
So, we are coming. We have one more minute
minute.
So I think this is your chance to close it out.
All right. Well, just, for those people listening, Frank, how can they help if they want to get more involved?
I think the first and foremost is pray. Oftentimes, it's not about as much about donations than it is more about prayer. Certainly give us your feedback. I don't care. Good, bad, indifferent, ugly, it doesn't matter. I tell people, email me all the time. It's frank@holyspiritradio.org. Love to hear your opinions. If you want to volunteer, email me too. I can certainly, see what we can do and work that out. But there's a variety of ways to help. And you can also donate online if you choose to. If you're, have that capability, just know that we're going to spend it in smart ways.
Right. And you can underwrite a show as well if you're a business. Anyway, thank you, Frank, for sharing your vision for the station and your experiences here. It's been marvelous. I mean, we have a rare person here, folks, that not only has a great vision of what to do, but actually has the ability to execute it himself. He's in there, and he can, fix computers and make things
thank
work.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogue.
Really blessed here,
we
thank
hope
you
you'll
again,
join
Frank,
us each month at this
God bless
time,
you all, and have a wonderful week. We'll see you next
time.
Take care.
Or
bye-bye.
For the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.